We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. There's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb. We ain't gonna wait around any longer. We ain't gonna hesitate anymore. Now that we've opened up our eyes and analyzed the situation, we realize that we're in a war. And it's a struggle for the life of our nation. For the survival of our sovereignty. And it's a battle for the heart and mind and soul of the people. For our freedom and our liberty. And so we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. We ain't gonna train to be no UN soldier. And we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. Cause we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. No, 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 no way.
No way.
Jose.
Jose.
Now they can't make us.
Can't
they can't break us.
Can't break
say
us.
Adios.
Adios.
Oh, Boutros, Boutros.
Boutros, Boutros.
Surrender my nation to your global plantation? Well, I don't think so. We're gonna fire off some letters to Congress. We're gonna flood them with our faxes and phone calls. We're gonna tell them we the people won't put up with their treason, with their stealing and their stalling and stone walls. And if they keep forgetting just who the boss is, we might as well not pay them any more taxes. If we the people ever finally get our whole act together, we could have the global bankers for breakfast. Because we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. And we ain't gonna train to be no UN soldiers. And we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. Cause we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. No, 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 no way.
No way.
Jose.
Jose.
Now they can't make us.
Can't
they can't break us.
Can't break
say
us.
Goodbye and so long. And on. Trade away our system for global communism?
We don't think so.
We're gonna agitate some radio stations. We're gonna try to get them playing our songs. And if they flat refuse to play patriotic music, then we'll know whose side they're really on. And when we take it to the streets of our cities, we'll force the media to cover our action. And when we vote, we're gonna dominate the coming elections. Make the Rockefellers wonder what happened. And we said we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. And we ain't gonna train to be no UN soldier. And we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. Cause we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. God bless the Republic. Through faith we cannot fail.
Death to the new world order.
And we shall prevail.
Five senses can deceive if not aim. fake the closed wall. Forever give me ears to hear your word. And faith will wax strong where emotions don't belong.
Come and wander through the halls of time. Walk within those hallowed walls with our Christian fathers from old times, when foreign kings were called, when they were asked to say that Caesar is Lord or kiss the pontiff's ring. They said, oh no, I'll not deny my faith. Close your eyes, you'll hear them sing. My Lord is Jesus. Oh, and how I love that name. No torture or death or prison waits for me. I'll evermore proclaim my Lord is bled and died to set men free. Though you may take my life, you'll never, never take my liberty. Now you can see them marching to their deaths with their babies in their arms. As the lions roared and the flames burned hot, they feared no earthly harms. Given one last chance to recant, they said so humbly, you see, I can't deny my Savior because he gave his all for me. My Lord is Jesus. Oh, and how I love that name.
waits for me. I'll evermore proclaim my Lord is Jesus.
He bled and died to set men free. Though they may take my life, they'll never, never take my liberty.
Sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's cause of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA, are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Cause they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is oy vey. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist.
I just want to get the job done.
Captured by the mob's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he shouldn't be amused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the thoughts they cannot choose. And I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news. Exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists. Who made me sing you this song? I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist and I just want to have fun. Ciao, ciao, ciao. Ha ha!
woke up one day with nothing much to do. He tried to put his street clothes on but couldn't find his shoes. The night before he tied one on, now cobwebs filled his head. By afternoon he called in sick and then went back to bed. The next day he felt shaky but he made it off to work and voted to increase his pay and take another perk. Although the people cried out loud and told him what to do, instead of trying to cut the cost, he increased revenue. Yippee-yi-yo! Yippee-yi-yay! Off their hide. My congressman just voted yes to increase foreign aid. Although our nation's infrastructure's worn and torn and frayed, while veterans and nation sons become the unemployed, since NAFTA those aliens will gladly fill the void. Yippee-yi-yo! Just voted yes to pass the Brady Bill. He thinks if he can take my guns, it's him that won't be killed. He doesn't give a hang about the crime he helps create, as long as bribes keep coming in. Americans can wait. Yippee-yi-yo!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the fifth day of June, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is repentance. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, or Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces, .net. We draw attention to the Daily Mail page where we put current event information, news broadcasts, etc., also pertinent information about health and other issues, so check out the Daily Mail page as often as you think of it, and also the home page has information on those who wish to help us out with a donation. If you don't have any of my other contact information, you would go to the Contact Us page and use that to send me a note, and I'll get back with you as quickly as possible. Yes, thank you, Ella. Just got a note from Ella listening out there live. And again, if you wish to contact me during the broadcast, please use BYD, which is Bravo Yankee Delta, BYD Pastor Dan, and that's all together at yahoo.com. That's the easiest way. I check that from time to time during the broadcast. And I let the Cherokee Princess song, Amazing Grace, play into the beginning of the program for a reason. First of all, I like to enlighten people to other languages because our kinsmen speak other languages, okay? So in honor of that, many of them can speak English too, thank goodness, for those of us who are not gifted with 2, 3, 4, and 5 languages like some of our brethren. Because of modern technology, Yahweh has allowed us the ability to communicate easier than in the past. And I'm going to show you an example of that here in just a minute. But I let that play for a couple reasons. Amazing Grace is probably one of my favorites and our family's favorite songs from back as far as I can remember. And I have done a lot of looking into the Cherokee people because down here in Florida, of course, this is very close to where the Cherokee, before the intervention of our governments, man-made governments, the beast system, particularly the beast system under the control of Yahweh's enemy, the Jew. Before then, the Cherokee called southeastern United States their home. And I just read an article very recently that was quite interesting about the history of the Cherokee, because the Cherokee were one of what they called the 5 civilized tribes. And the reason they called them civilized is because the European background of these people was maintained in their villages. If you looked at a Cherokee village, it was designed and built almost identical to the Middle Ages European villages and towns and shires. Very, very similar. In fact, the language spoken by the related tribes, Iroquois tribes, the Cherokee are from a branch of the Iroquois. But if you find out the Iroquois all over northeastern America and the related tribes in the central and southeastern portion of the colonies, they all spoke a language based on a root very, very similar to Gaelic, which of course is where my family is from, Wales and Ireland. Erin go bragh, by the way. I found that quite interesting because, again, I've studied it for quite some time because I'm convinced that the proofs of the Bible and the history of the white race will show that our people have traveled this world for thousands and thousands of years. For instance, the Kennewick man they found up in the, along the banks of the Kennewick River in Washington State, proved that Caucasoids, meaning a Caucasian, a Caucasoid man was buried in the mud and perfectly preserved for thousands of years. They estimate him to be 7,000 to 8,000 years old. And it was obvious that this was a Caucasoid. Now, it was interesting when they first discovered this skeleton, this mummy, the Indian tribes of the West wanted to bury it immediately before the archaeologists and forensic medical people could have an examination. And, of course, the reason they wanted to bury him right away is because they knew it would prove that the white man has been all over North America, in fact, the world in general, but all over North America for thousands and thousands of years. So this whole modern Jewish bullshit story that somehow Europeans came here and took over and took it from the, quote, indigenous peoples is bullshit. Now, did the government of the white race at that time, back in the 1700s and 1800s, did they do things that were not right to the tribes people that were here? Absolutely. But then again, have Frenchmen fought Englishmen? Have Irish fought Welsh and English? Yeah, we fight amongst ourselves all the time because we have forgotten that we are brethren. Okay, that is one of our sins. That's one of the sins of the white race. We have forgotten our roots and our history because we've been indoctrinated through the public school system. And we've been told a lie. Lie upon lie, and you add to the lies and misinformation in the public school system, the indoctrination system, you add to that entertainment, movies, etc., magazines, and all these things that are run by our enemy, the Jew, and now you've exacerbated the problem considerably. So the reason for the program, and for what I've said about doing for almost 23 years now, is to reunite our people. Because we are brethren, and that's, again, why I sometimes broadcast things that are in these other languages, not because I'm trying to confuse anybody or denigrate those of us that speak English. It's to open our eyes to the fact we have brethren in many lands who speak other languages, and it's just to honor them and to make us aware that our bloodline, our people, our family extends into other lands. And so I'm going to try something for the first time now. I have finally got software that allows me to do this, so I'm going to experiment with this. My greeting this morning in English is, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our radio broadcast. Okay, that is the greeting. And I'm going to play it in German, Spanish, and French, because that covers a lot of territory in this world today for where our brethren have gone. So we'll start out trying it here in German.
Guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren. Willkommen in unserer Radiosendung.
Very good. And now we'll try it in Spanish.
Buenos días, damas y caballeros. Bienvenido a nuestra transmisión de radio.
Very, very good. And last but not least, in français.
Bonjour mesdames et messieurs, bienvenue dans notre diffusion radio.
All right, so hopefully that came through and everybody was able to understand it. The other thing I would like some feedback on is I went and purchased what they call a wind sock or a windscreen for my microphone, so if it has improved the quality of the audio if somebody could just either text or email or whatever and let me know that, that the purchase that I made is worth it. Okay. But a windsock, they call it, that's that foam thing over a person's microphone. It cuts down on the, little ticks in the voice. In other words, when you smack your lips or if you take a deep breath or if there's some other sort of annoying little nuances as a speaker, it's supposed to help mute that out. So if that's working, if it does sound a little bit better, again, just fill me in and let me know. Now, again, the Amazing Grace by the Cherokee Princess, I thought that was very good. One of our biggest fans for many years on By Yahweh's Design was a lady from Arkansas by the name of Betty Virginia, a dear, dear friend. Her husband had been a Jesuit priest in the Catholic Church, and he came to know his identity. He became an extremely valuable friend and educator of me, so he was my mentor, in the area of what the Catholic Church, Roman Popism, what that has done to people, and particularly the Jesuits, which was created by the Jews. And Betty Virginia was part Cherokee. Now, one of the strongest identity believers and ladies I've ever known was Betty Virginia. And unfortunately, Yahweh has called her home several years ago. But it was in honor of her also that I promoted the Cherokee message and the fact that just because you have Cherokee blood in you does not make you race mixed. Okay, I'm going to tell you that right now. A lot of people will argue with me that, no, all the tribes were mixed. No, they weren't. Now, are they mixed to this in this day and age? Are there some of the tribesmen, some Cherokee, Iroquois, Huron, and the various related tribes all the way from Canada down? Are some of them mixed? Well, hell yeah. So are some of my Welshmen. So are some of our Irishmen. Okay, because again, the Jew has been pushing race mixing for quite some time, and some of our people have fallen for it. That does not mean, then, that everybody with Irish or Welsh or German or French or Spanish blood, every single person is mixed. No, it doesn't. It just means some of our people have fallen into sin. And again, why we call it for repentance. And I'm going to get into the etymology of the word repentance in a second and why it is so significant. And I want you to erase what you think you know the word means. Because again, we have been lied to and misdirected, especially by the church world. Okay? These lying prostitute preachers have been deceiving us for many years. Now, in again, the study of the indigenous tribesmen from Europe that have lived here for thousands of years, isn't it interesting that many of the, what we call Indian tribes were riders of horses on the bareback, okay? Bareback riders. They had no saddle. Where did that start? Now, Western movies and history books and all like to make it sound like it started here in America, in North America. But where did bareback riding of horses actually start? It goes back into antiquity. Even Alexander the Great, his cavalrymen rode bareback. The Scythians and the Vandals and many of our tribesmen through the Europe and Eastern European regions rode bareback. The saddle didn't come along until much, much later. So bareback horse riding was not a thing of the, quote, American Indian, like the Western movies and everything else want to try to tell you. White men, Israelites, have been riding horses bareback for thousands and thousands of years. The same thing could be said of covered wagons, okay? Americans watch Westerns, they see the covered wagons, and they think that's where covered wagons came from. No, covered wagons, again, goes back thousands of years. And you can look particularly at the Israelites that were called Scythians. In fact, the very word Scythian means travelers in temporary dwellings or covered wagons, movable tents, so to speak. Sukkoths in ancient Hebrew, sukkoth or temple, or not temple, but tabernacles, basically temporary shelter, tents. Tents have the same idea, but covered wagons were just tents on wheels, much like today we have motorhomes, which are homes on wheels, are they not? Well, our ancient ancestors had the same concept. They just took a tent, instead of putting the canvas over teepee poles or over the poles of a yurt, they put them over their wagons. Okay, so the concept, again, goes back thousands of years amongst our people. It was interesting also that while that song was playing, you could hear bagpipes. Again, bagpipes are a white man's tradition. They go back thousands and thousands of years. The pipes and the drummers. The pipes and drummers used to lead the Israelite armies on the march, and when enemy peoples heard the pipes and the drums of the Israelite armies, they often fled in terror. And it's interesting to note that when I used to play bagpipe music at work, how many of my coworkers who were foreigners, aliens, blacks, etc., would come up and go, "What is that noise?" You see, the sound of the bagpipes and drums is noisome to our aliens that dwell amongst us. But to a true Israelite, the sound of the bagpipes is sweet music to us. Just one way to tell the difference between our kinfolk and those not of our kind. Much as the sense of smell, if you get rid of cologne and perfume, the sense of smell will tell you you're with somebody not of your kind. Besides the look of the eye, the body language, etc., the customs, those things will tell you as well. The enjoyment of music is another indicator whether you're with kinfolk or not. So anyway, that was the reason behind that. I hope you will indulge me that little kind of deviation from the standard plan here. Ella says, the sound is wonderful. Okay, well, great. So, very good. So, the purchase of the windsock, I'm going to chalk that up as being a positive, and hopefully it will continue to work to our benefit as the software is finally starting to work right, as yours truly gets better acquainted on the nuances of it and how it all works together. So we're constantly learning how all this stuff works and trying to do a better job of it. So again, we're going to get into this topic of repentance, because Sun Tzu told us a long time ago. And my personal conviction is Sun Tzu was European, okay? Now, a lot of people say he was, well, no, he's Chinese. Well, he lived in the region of what we call China today. I don't doubt that. So did Buddha. Buddha lived in northwestern India amongst the Brahmin. But that doesn't mean he was Indian, just like Sun Tzu wasn't necessarily a Chinese individual, because Aryans have lived in the area of China as long as it's existed. They've found mummies up in the Tarim Basin of China that date back 4,500 years, and even in National Geographic, the magazine, they stated that they were Caucasoids, meaning white people. All right? And it was obvious they were white people. In fact, the article that I read in National Geographic, and this goes clear back to the 1990s when I read the article, it even stated that they were amazed at the quality of their clothing. Because you got to remember, this was 4,500 to 5,000 years ago. Most of the garments were combinations of either purple, blue, or red And they said that the weaving of the fabric was so tight that modern machinery would be hard-pressed to duplicate it. I'll let that sink in, because they used hand looms at that time, as far as we know. And yet they were able to produce fabric that was of quality that would give modern-day machinery a run for the money. Let that sink in. Okay, again, little nuggets that our Father has given us to show the footprints of where Jacob Israel, our people, has traveled for millennia. So anyway, Sun Tzu, who again I believe to be one of our kinsmen because of his intellect and wisdom, he said that if you want to guarantee success on the battlefield, you need two things. You need to know yourself, and you need to know your enemy. And by Yahweh's design has been dedicated to those two premises from the day it started. And before the beginning of By Yahweh's Design Radio, it was in personal speeches and lectures at gatherings for quite some time before internet came along and internet radio. So it's been a long travel, a long road, but it's been worthwhile because, again, the goal was that our people would know both themselves and their enemy. And praise Yahweh, we're starting to see the fruit of all that. Praise the Father. So in the encyclopedia, under the etymology, which means the history of the word, how did the word come to be what we use today, the etymology of the word repentance. I'm going to read what it says. In biblical Hebrew, and again, our people are the Hebrew people, Caucasoids, not Jews. That they are the Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, imposters. So in biblical Hebrew, the idea of repentance is represented by two verbs. The first one is shuv, which means to return, and nacham, meaning to feel sorrow. In the New Testament, the word translated as repentance is the Greek word metanoia, which means after or behind one's mind, which is a compound word of the preposition meta in Greek, which means after or with, and the verb noio, to perceive, to think, the result of perceiving or observing. In this compound word, the preposition combines the two meanings of time and change, which may be denoted by the words after and different, so that the whole compound means to think differently after. So metanoia is therefore primarily an afterthought, different from the former thought, a change of mind and change of conduct, quote, change of mind and heart, or change of consciousness. Now, let me stop there for a minute and remind the listeners that on this radio broadcast, we have talked about that definition for many years. And here, right out of the encyclopedia, it's saying exactly what we have said over the radio many years ago. Repentance comes from the roots in Latin, meaning to that's where re comes from, like rebound or reiterate. So repent, pentos, pent is the mind. In fact, in French, the word to think is penser, P-E-N-S-E-R, penser, je pense, I think, vous pensez, you think, okay? So pense, think, repent, rethink, exactly what this encyclopedia and definition is saying, to think differently after After what? After observation. What are we observing today? What is the raising of our consciousness today? The fact that we have observed that man-made government is the enemy of all mankind. And especially when you realize that man-made governments are all tools of the nefarious Jew. Through their Babylonian money system, they control man-made governments. And if the man-made government rebels, like Muammar Gaddafi did and Saddam Hussein, when they rebelled against the New World Order, they were killed because the money flowed into the pockets of the assassins from the Jew handlers, the money handlers. So when the Jew head of the Pentagon and of the budgets, because they control both, Rumsfeld, when he said there was $3 billion right before 9/11, the day before 9/11, actually, he stated publicly that the Pentagon had lost $3 trillion in the budget. How do you lose $3 trillion? Now, this goes back 21 years, folks. How do you lose $3 trillion? And some years later, another Jew in the Defense Department said that the Pentagon lost $10 trillion. And yet the American people stayed sound asleep. What the hell is going on? Trillions of dollars disappears and you're going to sit there and stay in your bed sound asleep? Oh, my God. And Ella says, nous pensons, we think. Yes, exactly right. So my 4 years of high school French, it comes back to me once in a while. I wish I could pick up languages like folks like Cleopatra and Thomas Jefferson and many other educated people from the past. They could speak 5, 6, 7, 8 languages. I wish I was that good. I can pick up bits and pieces of many languages, even in Hebrew and Greek, but particularly Greek, and not so much Hebrew, but I want to be fluent. And it's kind of interesting. Years ago when I thought about buying the books and going to classes and all that, it was going to take a lot of money and time. The Holy Spirit said, don't worry about it. And I remember, this is clear back in the 1990s, and I remember thinking to myself, why would the Spirit tell me not to worry about it? Because I want to be able to communicate to our brethren all around the world at some point, and I want to be able to speak in their language and understand it. Well, it's much like when I prayed the prayer that when I learned the identity message that I would teach it to the world. That was my promise. And at that time, there was no computers at home and there were no internets at all. Only the military had internet. So I thought it had to be shortwave radio. So for 7 years, I desperately tried to save up enough money and acquire a shortwave radio antenna and transmitter. It did not work, and I believe Yahweh did not allow it to work, because during that 7 years, I did intensive study in Greek and Hebrew, and I studied 1,100 cassette tape lectures by other identity teachers, such as Pete Peters and a whole host of other ones, Wesley Swift, Bertrand Comparé, many others. So I had 1,100 cassette tapes, because back then that's what you used. There was no computer or internet. So during that 7 years, Yahweh had me in the desert, so to speak, learning the truth of this important message. And then when it was time to speak to the world, guess what developed during the 7 years of my study? Along came the internet for public use besides the military. Along came cheaper computers, even though one of the first computers I bought for my home back in the 1990s was $3,600. That was a lot of money back then. Okay? But it was a Dell tower. And I remember when I bought it, I paid $3,600 for it. And it was only a 386 processor. I think the hard drive on it was like 30 or 40 megabyte. Megabyte, not gigabyte, not terabyte, megabyte. And I thought I had myself a gold mine, because now I could load electronic Bible programs on it and do my studies in identity much easier than when I had to do it through hard copy books. My point is, do you see how the Father provides for us to do His work? All we have to do is repent, change the way we think, change our consciousness. I'm going to read something that came across the internet this morning here in a little bit that goes perfectly with this concept. You and I are the vehicles of change, because repentance is all about change. As it says in this encyclopedia definition, change of mind and heart, or change of consciousness. We need to wake up from the programming. We need to wake up from the strong delusion that has been cast upon us. And how do we do that? By repentance. Both the original language definition and the current definition. We need to be remorseful. We need to repent of our error. We need to repent or rescind our laziness, our cowardice. Okay? We need to become active. As Scripture says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Be ye doers of the word. Be the vehicle of change upon this sick world that we live in by being doers of righteousness and not just talkers like some of these preachers. These preachers are pathetic. They are pusillanimous, as Pastor Pete Peters used to say all the time. They are pusillanimous cowards. You ought to look that one up. If I have time during the broadcast, I will. But pusillanimous is what they used to call them, and that's what they are. They're pathetic. They're weak. They're cowardly. They are the Baal priests of our day, because they are not standing for anything. In fact, there was a good article that just came out by a pastor. Let's see if I wrote it down. I think it's called, Men Without Chests, by Pastor Andrew Isker. And you can go to news.gab.com and find it there. If you contact me, I'll be glad to send you the link. There is also a copy of this letter on the CrescentCityTimes.com. But just get a hold of me and I'll be glad to send you the link. I will also have it posted on the Daily Mail page. If it's not there now, I'll do it later on today. So again, repentance fits perfectly with what we should be all about in this day and age. We need to change our minds and hearts and change our level of consciousness about what's going on. We need to think outside the box. Or as Buckminster Fuller used to say, we need to build a better model. Okay, you don't fight the existing model necessarily head on, so to speak. You fight the existing model by building a new model that makes the old model, the Jewish world order, obsolete. And the consciousness of the world is rising as people are beginning to realize how these despicable Jews, we're talking about these Zionist Jews who are part of the international finance system of the New World Order, the cabal, if you want to call it that, okay? The secret government behind all governments, okay? Because none of the governments of men are on our side. And the few people that do stand up, like some of the black leaders in Africa have stood up against the New World Order, they were assassinated. They were assassinated. Pusillanimous means timid or cowardly. Yes, very good. P-U-S-I-L-L-A-N-I-M-O-U-S. Pusillanimous. Timid or cowardly. Thank you, Ella. See, a team effort, right, folks? Team effort. So anyway, a few leaders in the world have taken a stand against the New World Order, and we have stood by as cowards and allowed the cabal, by using things like the CIA, the FBI, NSA, the Pentagon, to be the assassins. I have met people. I interviewed Cody Snodgrass, who was a CIA contractor killer, and he talked about the fact that that's what he was. I also worked in an area in the Midwest years and years ago and met a gentleman who was a sniper in the United States Army, and he was a sniper in South America. South America. Now, I know for a lot of you youngsters that have been through the public school system, your knowledge of geography sucks. Okay, so get a map out. It's online. Just put in MapQuest or Google Earth or whatever. And for a change, go look something up. Take a look at where South America is and the countries in South America. And again, this is back in the 1980s and the 1990s. Do you see a country that we had declared war on? No, there wasn't. And yet this guy, his name was James, was a United States Army sniper working in South America in those countries, killing people for the United States government as a soldier. And he told me he has nightmares to this day because he realizes that his leaders, his trusted voices, his commanders could have had him assassinate perfectly good people. Okay, so don't think for one minute that the stories of what our man-made governments and man-made militaries, don't be confused as to how criminal they can be, because they are criminal. They have committed criminal acts. Many of the top people within the military are part of the cabal. They're also pedophiles and Satanists. Just because they wear a uniform doesn't automatically make them a good person. You could say the same exact thing about law enforcement. That uniform doesn't mean shit. That badge doesn't mean shit. Not today. Look at the actions of some of these cretins, okay? These miscreants in uniform. We do not obey and honor a uniform. I'm sorry, but you don't. That is the lie of the Jew through the propaganda machine. I don't honor and respect a uniform. I might honor and respect what's in the uniform if it's behaving morally. If it's immoral, then that uniform is actually a cloaking device for a criminal. Now, the last time I checked, if a criminal creeps in amongst you wearing a, quote, disguise, which a uniform on a criminal is a disguise, a person who is disguised walking amongst you is a spy, is an insurrectionist, is an enemy of the people. Let that sink in. A man or woman wearing a uniform who is acting immorally against the people of the land, they are the equivalent of an insurgent enemy agent in that disguise, and therefore they are the same as a spy. What is the punishment for treason and espionage? Yeah, it's called hanging. It's called execution. Okay? Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen, because that is the facts of the day. And for you men and women in uniform, we've been telling you for years, you'd better think hard about your careers, because you are working for the enemy in this day and age. If you are behaving outside the laws of civilization known as the Christian law, the Christian ethic, from our Father, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the great I Am, if you are operating immorally, wearing a uniform, you are a spy. You are operating under the color of law. Think about that. And let me tell you something else. You may not have known this, but the United States Supreme Court has said many times that when a person in uniform, military or police, operates outside of our limits, constitutional limits, they no longer have any protection. They are not protected. They stand on their own. They are criminals. Again, let that sink in. Okay, I've got some verses I want to read here. This is out of Psalm 35, verses 1 and 2. Plead or defend my cause, O Yahweh Lord, with them that strive, which means to struggle or fight viciously, for with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler. Now remember, in ancient times, a soldier held a full-sized shield to deflect arrows. A buckler is a smaller shield that they wore on the forearm when they were in hand-to-hand combat. So you have to understand that when you read the verses, or it doesn't make sense. So he says, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Hallelujah. Then we go to Psalm 34, starting at 15. The eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of Yahweh is against them that do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. Two references to this same idea can be found in Psalm 33, verse 18, and in Jeremiah 44, verse 11. Now we'll skip down a little bit to Psalm 34, starting 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken, referencing John 19, 34 and 36. Evil will slay, which means to kill in a violent way. Evil will slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate or held guilty. Yahweh redeems, frees from captivity by payment of ransom. He redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him will be desolate. You can also cross-reference here to Psalm 71, verse 23. Then we can go down to Psalm 34, a little further down at 27. The righteous cry, and Yahweh hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Yahweh is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of contrite or crushed spirit. Cross-reference Isaiah 61, verse 1. So again, who is our rock and our salvation? Yahweh himself. All right? We have an advocate. We have a Savior. And he doesn't, it isn't about what happens after we expire. It's about salvation here on earth. Remember the Greek word soter, which is where Yahshua in the Greek, or the Hebrew, I'm sorry, Yahshua means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Yahshua. The same is Jesus in the Greek. Now, a lot of people say because the ending sounds like Zeus, it's pagan and it's worshiping Ra, and I hear all this stuff, but it's pretty easy. Just as in our modern languages, when we transliterate things, it doesn't always come across the same way. The YH of ancient Hebrew, remember there were no vowels in ancient Hebrew or in ancient Greek. There were no vowels. Okay? They started out with just consonants. The Greek language added vowels later, but in the beginning it was all capitals and all consonants. So Yah was just YH. So in the Greek, YH is pronounced Yay. Okay? Yay. Okay? Shua in the Hebrew becomes, from the verb soter, when it's conjugated with Yah, becomes Yahshua. And in the Greek, Yesus. Yay saves. Yay, Yah saves. Get it? It's not hard to figure out. And it's not tied into the occult, devil worship, and all the things everybody tries to say. I mean, how did we get to be where we are today as a race of people on this earth if all these naysayers and these Jewish apologists were right? I mean, come on. Put your thinking caps on, folks. We've been here for a very long time. We're not going anywhere. The remnant of Yahweh is here to stay. We're going to see a lot of terrible things, as Psalm 91 says. You're going to see 1,000 on one side and 10,000 on another. What are you seeing today? 1,000 on one side, 10,000 on another. You're seeing 1,000 affected by putting that jab into their arms and 10,000 putting diapers on their face. Okay? Are they suffering for doing that? Sure are. Even if they don't have any physical side effects, they're having mental problems. They've basically taking their manhood and womanhood away and are taking on the sign of a slave. That's what a mask is. It's basically showing that you accept your position as a servant or a slave to the system. Which will cause a mental anguish, by the way. We were meant to be free men and women upon the land. And again, when I read this little snippet from today's email inbox, you're going to understand why. I picked a few more verses out having to do with the concept of rethinking, changing our consciousness. We can go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins, and what is a sin? A transgression of God's law. So that your sins may be blotted out. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Yahshua began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why did he say that? Why did he say it was at hand? Because it's in you and me, ladies and gentlemen, as Ella has said so eloquently many times. We are his temple. Just as in the scripture where it says, don't desecrate the temple. Because your Holy Spirit resides in the temple, your body. That's why you don't put poisons in it. You don't become alcoholics, drug addicts. And I know, and this goes out to Brother Cody and many others out there. Bless your heart. I've got children in the same boat. I've got friends in the same boat. If you tattooed your body in the past and have repented of it, then you're covered, okay? Remember, all of our transgressions are scarlet, meaning bright red, in the eyes of our Father. All of us are in that boat. It doesn't matter what the sin is. We're all scarlet red. That's why he said, I'm taking your transgressions and throwing them into the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. Into the sea of forgetfulness. Because in ignorance, we've all committed crimes against our Father. Remember, the only crime that matters in this world is the crime against the Almighty. not man-made law. There's not a soul walking this earth that hasn't violated some ordinance or regulation or statute that's created by these quacks and charlatans called government today. Okay? They're all part of that antichrist system. So we're all guilty of violating that. That doesn't mean anything. Man-made law does not matter in the big picture. It does not matter, folks. In fact, you're in more jeopardy of having God come against you in many cases because you are obeying God, man's law. Okay? If you're obeying man's law and that's creating a moral dilemma somewhere, you are throwing a stumbling block in front of others. So when you support abortion and you pay taxes to support abortion, you are part of the problem. Let that sink in. When you're paying taxes for the Pentagon and the military to bomb and murder people in other lands, or the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, you are complicit. Our nation is cursed today because we are sitting on our asses while these criminals hide behind the cloak of national security, or we're from the government and so we're all powerful. No, you're not. You're a servant, you asshole. You're a public servant to we the people. You're not my master. I have but one master, and he resides above, and you ain't it. And you sons of bitches there at the Pentagon, if you don't repent of what you're doing, and in those intelligence agencies, may Yahweh curse you from the top of your heads to the tips of your toes. May he burn you in whatever manner he chooses. You are liars and deceivers. That goes for everybody in the so-called government. In every one of these agencies, the medical establishment or the medical mafia, liars, cowards, and deceivers, murderers. We pray an imprecatory prayer today that our Father has come to the end of dealing with you. And may he curse you in all that you are. Curse you in the body, curse your finances, curse your health, curse your home, curse your families, because you are scum of the earth. Second Peter, chapter 3, verse 9. Yahweh is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Hallelujah. Now remember, these letters of Paul and of the apostles were written in a language and a time that only the Israelites, the Caucasian Israelites, could read. Okay, if it was meant for the whole world, it would have been written in languages that the whole world would have understood. That's why Yahshua himself said, I have come for the lost sheep of the tribes of Jacob, Israel. Those are the words of Christ. He did not say, I came for the world, the cosmos. He said, I came for the lost sheep. There's only one group of people ever in history referred to as the lost sheep. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Peter, Petras, said to them, repent and be baptized. Baptismo, by the way, means submerge. Submerge, not sprinkle. Submerge. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy consecrated, separated spirit. Yeah, the spirit that comes from the Father, no one else. That's why the world hates you. The world, especially under the control of these demonic, satanic Jews, they hate you because they can't get past the Holy Spirit. Now, they can try to get you to eat contaminated food and drink contaminated beverages so that your pineal gland, which is your antenna, the third eye, they can try to get you to contaminate it so it's difficult to communicate, but the Holy Spirit within you, that direct connection to our Father, they cannot interfere with. Acts 17, verse 30. The times of ignorance Yahweh overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, rethink, raise your consciousness. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, which means his wisdom, his judgments, his pronouncements, his commandments, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There is your formula for restoration of all of our lands, all of our homes, all of us as people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins or transgressions of his law, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Matthew 3, verse 8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Bear fruit. What's that mean? Fruit represents what? The results of activity. Doing something. All of us can do something. Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that Yahweh's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Luke 13, verse 3. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Perish. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent, rethink, raise your consciousness. Proverbs 28, verse 13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Amen. There's a gentleman, Irishman, by the name of Neil Oliver, who did a presentation here recently. It's a short video. You can find it at the Conservative Treehouse. And that's all together, no spaces, theconservativetreehouse.com. You can look it up. But he did one, says, when you accept that modern Western government considers the citizens their enemy, then all outcomes make sense. In other words, if you can't make sense of what's going on today, you need to rethink, repent, and understand that these governments under Jewish domination through the banking cartel, these governments of the world consider you and I, quote, the citizens, you and I, their enemy. That's why they don't care about your rights. They don't care about stealing from you, lying to you, manipulating you, etc., because you are an enemy. You are an enemy of the state, the beast, according to Scripture. Let that sink in. This is what showed up on my desk this morning. I want to read it real quick. It's not very long, and I think it's appropriate, so just relax for a second. What does it take to achieve one's dreams? First and foremost, you have to believe in yourself. Nobody ever achieved anything without feeling capable of at least trying. And that is the key. You must believe in yourself enough to try. And if you fail, to try again. Everyone can do that, and so can you. The difference between achieving something or not lies in how many times you are willing to fail before you succeed. And that will be determined by how important what you are trying to do is to you. Before setting out to achieving anything, there is a very important consideration to be had. Have you taken the time to reflect on it? Do you feel it's your calling, your destiny, your purpose? These are not easy questions to answer. They require a large degree of being in touch with yourself, your instinct, and your intuition. But they are critical in making sure you are putting your time and efforts in the correct or right place. The most important step in achieving anything lies in understanding and knowing yourself. Most people are so consumed by surviving within the system that they have never asked themselves, what would they be doing if they did not need to earn money to survive? But in the answer to this question lies the key to your dream and your happiness. The minute we take money out of the equation, it becomes easier to figure out one's purpose, one's mission, or one's dream. It does not need to be grand, and it does not mean that you won't earn money with it. It just means that money is not the primary consideration. I believe that when you do what you were meant to do, and you do it with passion, not only will it feed your soul, but your pocket as well. Maybe not to become rich, but to be wealthy in happiness, fulfillment, and experience. And isn't that what life is all about? So before anything, take the time to get to know yourself. Look inside, reflect, meditate. Feel what it is that makes you tick. Look back to when you were a child. What did you feel then? Who did you think you were going to be? Close your eyes and dare to dream of that which makes you feel like you are on top of the world. Remember, absolutely everything starts with a dream, so what is yours? Let me add to this what's happened within the last 3 days in my family. My niece's husband has quit a job with a very large insurance company because they are racists, and he was doing the work of probably about 10 people in the office because they had hired so many minorities and women that were unqualified, so they were beating him to death to get the work done of many other people. And they didn't have his back and never gave him promotions, etc. They gave him out to everybody else based on skin color and gender. So he quit. And he's gone through some rough times. First of all, of course, is the disappointment that this large company could treat him that way after he's worked so hard to make them successful. But that has happened to many of us. That's why I left my career early, because I got tired of working for cretins and miscreants. So this young man decided to go a completely different path and changed his career. So he went back to school to learn how to be a HVAC technician. HVAC is HVAC, which stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. I've done that kind of work, and I've got other relatives that do that kind of work. It can be fun. It can be challenging. But here's the thing. Based on what we just read, this young man did according to that article. He maintained his proper attitude. He showed up for class. He was properly dressed. He was attentive in class. He got excellent grades. He showed propensity to be able to pick it up and go with it very well. He's very hands-on, mechanically orientated. He's had jobs in that area for many other times before he went into sales for that large company. The point of it is he did not forsake who he was in his venture into this other area. And so just the other day, a man from a very large company came into the school, and for some reason he picked this man, my relative, he picked him out of the crowd and had a talk with him and said, "We're looking for somebody." And according to my relative, it was only a few minutes into the conversation that this man said that, "I'm going to hire you. How soon can you start?" Now, think about this for a minute. My relative, this young man, has not even graduated from the school yet. But this representative of this large company could tell that he already knows enough of the business to be good at it. He was told that not only do you have a job, but I have a truck ready for you to use. You will have a gas card to fill it up at our expense, and it's fully equipped with all the equipment you need. Now, he hasn't even graduated yet, so he has a job, a company vehicle, all the tools he needs, and he was told that within 6 months, you're going to go into our sales department because I can tell that you're going to be very good at it. And once you're into the sales department, your personal income will go up dramatically. Now let that sink in based on what we just read. Okay, he is not the only person that I've talked to in the last week that has had a miracle of sorts, a blessing from the Father, because they did not forsake who they were. They did not forsake what makes them who they are, their character. They did not sacrifice their character for money. He stood his ground. And yes, he was depressed a lot. And yes, he was actually drinking probably more than he should as well, because of his depression and stress from other things that are going on in the world. But at least he recognized it and he took steps to mitigate what was happening to him. And in the end, a blessing like this comes along. Now he is a completely different individual. Do you see how that works, folks? The main thing was he did not give in. He was an overcomer, which is exactly what the scripture says you and I should be. Don't give in to the new world order. Don't give in to the idea that we can't win, because we are winning. The enemy would not do what it's doing if we weren't winning. We are winning. We are winning many people over. Platforms all over the internet and elsewhere are starting to talk about the very things that you and I have been talking about for years on this platform. They are now recognizing man-made government is not our friend. They're recognizing that the major media and all of these centralized news outlets and information outlets are controlled by the same cabal. They are evil. They are liars and deceivers. The world is waking up, and that terrifies them. Their judgment at the hands of the righteous, as spoken by the prophets, is not far away. They are panicking. That's what you need to understand. Now is not the time to acquiesce. Now is not the time to cave. Now is the time to stand firm in your convictions. Trust in the Father. Trust in Him and allow Him to open the storehouse of heaven and pour out blessings from that storehouse upon you and your loved ones. You men, in particular, need to pay attention to what I'm saying. You are the lions of our people. You are the lions of your household. Start acting like lions and not sheep. Lions don't give a damn what sheep think. And within your household, lions, your wives and your children are not in charge. You are. Start acting like it. If they don't like it, let them leave. But not you. You are the lion. Keep picturing that majestic animal in the jungles of Africa and elsewhere. That lion that doesn't take shit from anybody. That lion who does what he has to do and no more or no less. He doesn't take orders from anybody else. And he does not tolerate an interloper affecting or trying to interfere with his pride, his family. When we start behaving like the lions of Judah, as Messiah was, as King David was, as Joshua was, as Abraham and Sarah were, when we start behaving like that, we become the kingdom of our Father on earth. His judgments, as written, are now poured out upon the wicked. Now do you see why they are so hell-bent in mentally conditioning you that you cannot win, you cannot change, that they have total control? Because as soon as you realize who you are and the power that you have, their days are numbered. And remember that admonition from Scripture. Praise Yahweh. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. The words of Messiah, the words of Yahweh, our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. You and you alone deserve those. We, your children, have been a disappointment for a very long time. We pray that those who are repenting and deciding to go a new way and to change and to repent of their sins and wrongdoings and their cowardice, and as they become the men and women that you meant us to be, and the lions become the lions that they were always meant to be, that we can bring about the changes on this poor earth that is suffering under the heels of these miscreants. We look for a day when we see the earth return to what you created for mankind upon the earth, and to do away with all these man-made institutions that enslave all of mankind, and particularly this international banking cartel that is full of sick and demented individuals. We pray for the raising of the consciousness of mankind to realize that you are our Creator, and through you we can come to that fruition, that working with you and having you within us is the answer to our dilemma. And to forsake all of the trappings of Babylon, all of the delicacies of this whore that tries to entice us away from righteousness and obedience to you. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh. Walk with us and guide us on a daily basis. And we do pray an imprecatory prayer against all of those who support lawlessness in this day and age. Be with us and guide us, forgive us our sins, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.
Seen the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I have read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have read a fiery gospel writ in burnished rose of steel. As he deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since my God is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah.
I will walk the path of beauty, light. grass and flowers amidst these cypress trees. I give you now my books and all the mysteries. Now take the hourglass and turn it on its head. When the sun's on steel, just then you'll find me dead. Light the candle, John, the daylight is almost gone.
Be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, Almighty One. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joins their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated. And they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind, like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation, and let them seek your name, O Yahweh, then. Let them be terrified and shamed forever, and let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone, yes, you are Yahweh. You are the one most high o'er all the earth.